talking to you then, Liz. You're not talking to
that. You wouldn't hear me.
Wouldn't pay any attention then.
No.
All right, if you'll turn to Luke chapter 5, verse 7. The disciples have pushed out into the water again with Jesus with them. It says, they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Now, last Sunday, I had a prophetic word that was based on a painting. If you could, if you put that back up. It's Henry Tanner was a painter who painted this picture of the Annunciation, and the word that I had gotten was that it's a mess. I mean, Mary is sitting there, all the covers are all messed up, there's the carpet is bunched up, there's cracks in the wall, she has this fabric room divider just hanging there, and into that mess comes the light of God through the angel Gabriel. And that's just such a wonderful word. It goes, Karen said, you know, that God's saying the same thing. And I do. I believe he's saying the same thing again today. And God breaks into our mess. And he brings his light, love, and hope to all of us in the midst of the mess. But he's with us. And he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Amen? Okay, you can put that back. Thank you very much. So, now here's a question. What is the root cause of all this mess in our world? Is it God? Well, no. God is a God of order. He made order out of chaos. Is it Satan? We'd love to blame it on him, but no. He's a contributor, and he will take advantage of every opportunity that we give to him, but he's not the cause of the mess. So, what's the cause? It's fallen man, you and me. Okay? Fallen man is responsible for the mess in our world. And God, in his love, sent his messenger into our mess.
Careful.
And what message did he bring when he came into this mess of our world? Bringing his light, love, and hope. What was the message? That God was to become man. And that he would be incarnate. And he wouldn't just visit the mess, but he would live in the mess with us. Wow. And so into this mess, Jesus was born. He lived, he died, and he was resurrected in the midst of this mess. He is the light of the world. And he brings his light, his love, his hope to all of us who are mired in this miry bog of a mess in our world. And his chosen ministers to carry out this message are fallen human beings. And he chooses fallen men and women to bring his message of salvation to all of fallen humanity. Wow, really? Is there a plan B, maybe? There's no plan B. God, in his sovereign power, chooses messy messengers. Well, let me give you a few examples of God's messy messengers, okay? Well, in today's gospel, we obviously see the first of those, and that's Peter, okay? And Peter, when he sees what Jesus is capable of and the big catch of fish, he falls down on his knees and grabs Jesus around the knees and says, "I am a sinful man, depart from me." And Jesus' response, "You're a mess." No. Jesus' response was, "Don't be afraid. I'll make you fishers of men." We'll get back to that. In the Old Testament that we have today, Isaiah says, "I am a man of unclean lips." But God sends his angel with a burning coal and touches his lips. Ooh, yeah. And when God called Moses, you remember at the burning bush, when God called Moses, he claimed that he was slow of speech and of uncircumcised lips. God let him off the hook. Nope. "I'll send your brother Aaron to be your mouthpiece, but you're going." And when the prophet Jeremiah was called, he complained, "I don't know how to speak. I'm but a youth." But God said, "Do not say, 'I am only a youth.'" And this is important for all of us, okay? "Do not say, 'I'm only a youth.' For to all whom I send you, you shall go. And whatever I command you, you shall speak." God will give us the words we need when we are carrying his message. So each one of these was unworthy of the call that God placed upon them. But God nevertheless entrusted his message of salvation to all of them. And on top of that, each one of them was called and had to endure hardship for having been chosen as God's messengers. Jesus told Peter, "Don't be afraid, henceforth you will be catching men." Well, how did that work out for him? Well, let's see. He had to leave his home. He had to leave his business. He had to leave his wife. And he had to go all over everywhere. And ultimately, even had to witness the crucifixion of his Lord. Wow. Okay? God told Isaiah, after he called him, that Isaiah would make the heart of this people fat and their ears heavy and shut their eyes lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed. What a wonderful message. I'm sure people are dying to hear that one. Whoa! And God told Moses that he would harden Pharaoh's heart. Well, he did. Pharaoh hated him. And then because Pharaoh was trying to get back at Moses and the people, he made it life completely miserable for the people of the Hebrews. And so the Hebrews hated him. And Pharaoh and the Egyptians hated him. Yep, that's Moses. That was the call. Wow. And God told Jeremiah, "I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms." Sounds pretty good so far. "To pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow. And then to build and plant." And that was a heavy burden. Kind of made him unpopular with kings and leaders of people. That's why they threw him in a well, left him there to die.
Yeah.
Okay, so why would anybody except a call from God to be his messenger? Well, with the call, and this is really important, folks, with the call comes the promise. Okay? In our Lord's Great Commission, he says, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." In Hebrews it says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. In Psalm 139, verse 5, it says, you press upon me behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. God is before us. God is behind us. God is with us. God has his arm wrapped around us, and he is never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. He will be with us even to the end of the age. We have nothing to fear. And though we are unworthy, and we are, God provides for our every need. But he doesn't just provide for our need, he provides for our needs with abundance. Just look at what the gospel story today. Peter and James and John and the others, they hadn't caught a fish all night long. They'd been out there all night. They hadn't caught anything. And then they receive the call from Jesus. And they go out again, exhausted, throw their nets in, and the catch is so big they can't even put it in all the boats. God will provide for you in your every need. And Jesus tells us in John chapter 10, verse 10, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I came that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. You can't get that anywhere else. It's only in Jesus. And though the way may be difficult, trying times, trying circumstances, Scripture promises us that nothing will be impossible. Now, there were so many scriptures, I could have given you dozens on this one. But remember the picture that we had up there, just that painting just a minute ago. Mary, what's the final word that Gabriel gives to Mary? With God, nothing will be impossible. And Jesus, with his disciples, he said, what is impossible with men is possible with God. Amen. Why would we go? Why would we accept? Why would we answer the call to be God's messengers, unworthy as we are? Because in him is life. In him is joy. He is with us. We have nothing to be afraid of, and nothing is impossible in him. But the good news, my friends, is that you are unworthy. I don't know about you, but actually that's kind of freeing. But God wants to use us as his messengers. And this is really important at this time. I mean, God has been telling us for a couple of years now about how the change is coming, and we're seeing it. It's happening. This change is happening. And we are to be the messengers of light and life and love and hope to this messed up generation. And God wants to use us as his messengers. But the great news, the good news is we're unworthy. The great news is that he's going to break into this mess of our lives and fill us with that light and love and hope. And we don't have to worry about getting cleaned up. It's not something we can do ourselves. It's not something that God is even asking of us. He wants messy messengers. That was his plan. That people may see his work in us. I mean, think about this. There's nobody more unworthy in this congregation right now than me. And here I am giving you the message. And you know what? You're sitting there listening to me. We're all crazy. But you don't have to worry about being worthy. It's just not humanly possible. But he will take you just as you are. He will clean you up. It may require burning coals on your lips, but he will clean you up. And he will equip you with every spiritual gift necessary to do the work he has called you to do. and he will provide abundantly for you. He will take you, he will use you, and he will receive the glory. And that's awesome. Yes, God chooses messy messengers. And the good news is, you and I, we're of them. Amen.